Last week, a man and a woman were arrested for living inside a Chandler home that was vacant and up for sale. When police arrived, the Arizona Republic reports that Adriana Gamboa was found giving her child a bath upstairs in the master bathroom. Another child was running around still wet. At first, the 26-year-old mother told police she was a potential buyer, but later she said she was trying to find peace and quiet from a domestic violence shelter where she had been staying. She was booked for trespassing and possession of drug paraphernalia, the Republic reports. Her children were taken from her and put into the state's child welfare system. This has left some wondering if there could have been another way. Should circumstances be considered for victims of domestic violence? For more on that, I sat down with Alicia Durfee, an expert in domestic violence and a professor at ASU. And I asked her, was charging this woman and taking her kids the right answer in this case, in her opinion?
I don't think it was. I think historically we've had a heavy criminal justice response focused on arrests to when people are engaging in offending. And we know that that's not an effective deterrent. Right. And in fact, arrest often produces the opposite effect. So you have this woman who is already marginalized and now she's going to have a record, right, which is going to make it harder for her to get a job, harder for her to secure housing. So if the idea is to get her kind of in a stable situation and with her and her children, then I think this is producing actually the opposite effect.
Does being a victim of domestic violence, she said she was in a shelter for domestic violence before this happened, does that play a role in the way that the law enforcement officers or the criminal justice system in general will approach her?
I think it should. So we know that the number one cause of homelessness for women and children in the United States actually is domestic violence. So you have a lot of women and children fleeing domestic violence. And because we don't have a lot of the economic support programs that we used to have in the United States, they have no resources to rely on. They have nowhere to go. Now, with the increase in criminalization in the 1980s, and especially the idea that we are going to combat domestic violence with arrest and criminal justice responses, the effect of that was to defund a lot of domestic violence service programs. Mm. So I don't know of any shelter in the Valley. And the Valley shelters here are fantastic and fabulous and play an important role. But I don't know that any of them would say we have sufficient programming to provide all the programming we need to all the people who need it.
I want to get into that more in a moment. But first, I want to talk about the decision to put her children also in the foster care system, take her children away from her. Is that common in terms of domestic violence situations? Like, is it a deterrent, I wonder, for victims of domestic violence to calling law enforcement in the first place?
I think it is. So what you see is individuals who have survived an act of violence don't have a lot of options open to them. Now, one of them that we push them towards is calling the police. But when you bring the police into your home, you become entangled in the system in so many ways. So all of a sudden, you're dealing with CPS. And even though you may have called the police to protect your children, they're going to start questioning you on whether your children is your priority, right? And you also become enmeshed in all kinds of other systems. So let's say your immigration status isn't clear, or God forbid the people you live with, their immigration status isn't clear. Or perhaps you're suffering from drug or alcohol addiction, right? Which is a very common way that survivors cope. So they become entangled in all these different systems when all they were trying to do is reach out and get help and say that I am not safe.
How might things be different elsewhere? Like, are there parts of the country, parts of the state that are addressing these issues differently?
There are a number of courts that are approaching it differently. Now, I conduct research with the Mesa Municipal Court. Last July, what they did is they started doing a community court. And what it does is it takes people who are engaging in chronic low-level offending that is due more to the circumstances that they're in and social problems. So thinking about homelessness, thinking about drug and alcohol addiction, and connecting them to services rather than doing criminal prosecution. And while we have these kind of, they're usually like a deferred prosecution or maybe they plead guilty and, you know, then they don't serve any sentence, but they still have a criminal record then. What Mace is doing that's different than, say, some of the other courts is that the prosecutor, if the person completes a program, completely dismisses those charges. So Adriana Gamboa is going to have an arrest charge and she's, you know, if they choose to prosecute it, is going to have to disclose this to employers. But if she was going through a court like Mesa, actually that would all disappear.
Hmm. So what about law enforcement's role in this? Like, how can they be better prepared, I guess, or educated or trained to address situations like this?
I think we often think of, like, training. Like, this is the act of individual people, rather than thinking that this is an institutionalized response. So I don't know how much latitude the officers had when they got out there in making an arrest or not. If that's the departmental policy, then they have to arrest. It's like what we see with mandatory arrest programs for domestic violence. Officers may not think arrest is the best solution, but they're bound by the state statutes and departmental policies. Mm-hmm. I know officers, and they are very compassionate, but they are limited in their roles. I think we need to think structurally, institutionally, as to what options are we providing to them. What are we saying is the automatic reaction, right, which is arrest and prosecution. And people don't have latitude necessarily to make those decisions. So institutionally, how do we give more options in cases where the context should be considered rather than just the crime that was committed?
So in your view, would that be sort of expanding this community court model that MESA is using right now?
So the Center for Court Innovation has really done a lot of research on community courts, and they're showing it's very effective in dealing with these types of offenses. And I think people are starting to think more strategically about how do we respond. Like, if we don't want people to offend again, in this case with Adriana, is arresting her and taking away her children going to mean that she's not going to offend again? If we want to ensure that she doesn't offend again, we need to connect her to services, we need to connect her to housing, we need to connect her to possibly childcare. Those are the kinds of things that are going to help her not end up in the same situation again, rather than thinking, well, if we just punish her harshly, then next time when she's in this horrible situation, she will not make these choices because of such a harsh response.
All right. Alicia Durfee is a professor at ASU in the School of Social Transformation. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.